This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And it's the final Geek Squawks of the year. Of course, this is not the end of the show. We will continue in the new decade. And this time around, so we started King of Cultures sometime middle of the year, where we thought of just expanding it. Previously, we had what was Down in the Dumps and King of the Crowd.
King of the Crowd, yeah. All of the variations on that, just stuff I found on crowdfunding platforms that was either good, great, or indifferent.
Basically, it was all the newsletters that you used to get about, you know, some of these new projects that people were in a way subtly pitching towards you, and then you go like, hey Matt, like, do you want to invest in my company? Then they end up in Down in the Dumps or King of the Crowd.
Yeah, there were more Down in the Dumps in the end. That's why we expanded it to be King of Culture, because I was just getting so frustrated with this awful stuff that was popping in my inbox.
And just as the show title Geek Squawks is really, you know, us squawking about anything geeky related, so this covers just more than a product. So this time around, in our King of Culture special, we're going to look at a few different categories.
Yeah, just have a quick look at some of the things we liked the most from 2019. Basically, it's just an excuse for us to say, this is what we like from 2019.
Surprisingly, people do want to know, especially they do want to know. Yeah, especially when they want to know what does actually Matt Armitage read, or what does Matt Armitage listens to on podcasts, what does Matt Armitage, I guess, watch on TV, because it's always so dark. So, you know, does he actually watch anything that's not dark? And we'll find out.
I'm looking at my choices now and I'm like, oh, oh God, he's nailed me.
So let's start with the first category. Interesting that the category here is Game of the Year, but it's also about gaming industry overall itself. So, because,
well, I mean, basically, you're a gamer and I'm not, so yeah, we had to flip this in a way that worked.
So I'm gonna literally pick as what the title says, Game of the Year. So Game of the Year for me would be the Resident Evil 2 on the PS4, because this brings back nostalgic moments I had as a kid when I had the PS2. And the Resident Evil 2 was like the most scariest game that I've ever played. Then they remaked, which is a common theme, not just in games, but in movies, in cinemas. I think, you know, this year we saw The Lion King, we saw Aladdin. Next year we're seeing a whole bunch of new remakes of old movies. It happened in games as well. They do remasters versions that is, you know, 4K and UHD and all that, right? So Resident Evil 2 on the PS4 brought back that exact same scares that I had when I was a kid.
Oh, cool.
And it was a really good game. If you're on mobile, Call of Duty Mobile, that keeps me entertained. And, you know, so yeah, that's my Game of the Year.
Oh, yeah. And a couple of weeks ago, we actually gave away a PlayStation. I was very upset that somebody won it, because I would like to make...
I have to explain, though, because there were people who were asking, like, you know, how did this person win and stuff. So we had about 100 correct entries to the contest. And this is correct entries as in you got the answer right. And then you had the slogan in less than 20 words. And you had your email, your name, your IC number, and your phone number. We had about 100. We narrowed down to 10 based on an internal poll within all of my BFM's family and sort of like, you know, colleagues that I have. And from there, it was just a lucky draw in a bowl. And we picked out the winner, and the winner was Hillary, who managed to pick up. We posted up on Instagram and stuff, so you can go and check it out. So yeah
cool. And I'm very jealous of Hillary because I don't have a console and I really want to play Death Stranding. And I wanted to make that my Game of the Year, but I haven't played it, so I can't. I've watched other people playing it on YouTube, but that's not really the same thing. So my choice is actually Apple's Arcade, because as I said, I'm not a gamer.
Yeah.
But Apple's Arcade has put kind of mini games in a subscription package and targeted it at people like me who are not serious gamers. Now, I think it costs around 20 ringgit per per month, and they launched with around 60 titles. I think that's since gone up to around 100. Some of them are remakes or adaptations of old games, like Frogger, I mean, you were saying as well, kind of, yeah, you know, recycled and remade games. But they're very kind of quirky little quick games. They're not these kind of immersive epics that you need 20 or 30 hours to play, or in my case, 3, 4, 5 decades. Yeah, so that's my pick, yeah, because it actually extends that kind of gaming ecosystem to people like me who are not massive gamers but want to pick something up every now and again and just have fun with it.
Great stuff. Let's move on to something that we are both favorites of, podcast. Podcast of the year. Mine is something from The Verge, and it's called Why Do You Push That Button? This is, I think, it kind of stopped for a while. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in my feed for a bit, actually.
Yeah, maybe they've stopped for a season or so. Basically, but this is like a timeless piece anyways, because a lot of the topics that they spoke about earlier in the year kind of still is a topic that is in discussion in today's world. For example, like, you know, one of the latest one is like, why do people care about being verified online? You know, having the blue ticks, why is that such a big deal? It talks about, you know, people email Snapchat because they desperately don't want to lose their snap streak. So, you know, Instagram wants to open your DMs to feel like you're walking into a party. And a lot of these things is really about how the choices technology has done in forcing us to change the way we behave. You know, we're in a way a very monochrome individuals in today's world, because we're all being dictated by artificial intelligence and algorithms. So I really like Why Do You Push That Button? It's a podcast from The Verge.
Okay, and my choice is a podcast from NPR. It's called White Lies. I love investigative podcasts. So this isn't really a tech one. This is about a story from the civil rights era where a young reverend, actually a white guy called James Reeb, who was murdered in Selma, Alabama. He'd gone down to work with the civil rights and the kind of election movement in the US. No one was ever convicted, so three men were tried. They were acquitted. So this is about the period. So, you know, it's 50 years later, two journalists go back to Selma. They talk to some of the people who are still alive. They talk to some of the surviving relatives. And it's incredible how those racial scars are still alive today, how people are still very kind of racially polarized, and how a lot of people just refuse to even talk about the case at all and cast it as kind of a conspiracy theory that was supposed to find a white victim for the civil rights movement of the 1960s, where the evidence suggests that nothing could be further from the truth. So, yeah, that's White Lies on NPR. And, of course, the best podcast in the world, MSP, but you don't need me to tell you about that.
All right, so TV show of the year. This is difficult, though. I mean, we've got to pick one, but, like, this is really hard.
So many. This has been
so good.
Really, really great year for shows. I mean, I think I gave as a King of the Culture pick again a couple of weeks ago was Best of Lists.
Yeah.
Go and have a look at the Best of Lists. And when it came to TV, there were so many shows on other people's Best of Lists that I haven't seen. And I have spent the entire year watching TV shows. You know, but there's a lot of really great quality viewing this year.
But if I were to pick one, and it's because it is Star Wars season, I will have to pick Mandalorian. For me, I think that is really encapsulate everything that is Star Wars that I've really liked. It's a story about, you know, this lone gunfighter that is making his way through the galaxy. Baby Yoda has become, like, you know, a huge meme, you know, basically took over my entire Instagram feed. Everyone's just posting pictures about Baby Yoda. So Mandalorian for me would take TV show of the year, but I have to give an honorable mention to two shows. There's a lot, but I want to do When They See Us Now on Netflix. That's by Oprah Winfrey and her whole team, and that's really amazing because it is, it's also one of those series where you can't binge watch the entire thing at one go, because it really eats you up. inside. There's also, we have to mention Chernobyl. I think that is like one of the greatest ever TV shows in the history of TV shows.
You see, I haven't watched Chernobyl yet. And it's the same. I'm sure that I haven't watched The Mandalorian yet. Mm. A lot of people are saying The Watchmen is the best show of the year. I haven't watched that one yet.
Yeah.
I would have chosen, I mean, you mentioned the Oprah Winfrey show.
Yeah, When They See Us Now. There's The Boys as well, which a lot of people swear is so good.
The Handmaid's Tale for me was a great show this year. But again, like that same thing, you can only watch one episode at a time. But I think my... honorable mention to Years and Years, a sci-fi show about a family that starts today and goes a couple of generations into the future. But I think my show of the year, in terms of this kind of tech space, has been a BBC show called The Capture, which is all about the kind of surveillance society we live in now. So there's video cameras everywhere. But it's about deepfake technology. But it's about kind of a, not a government plot, but like a movement inside the government to start manufacturing video evidence. So, for example, if you have somebody who you know is guilty of terrorist offences, if you have evidence on them that's not admissible in court, say conversations that were caught without wiretaps on wiretaps that weren't authorised or that kind of thing. So it's about this kind of society where they can manufacture the video evidence. Mm. So these kind of future crimes and... You know, it's just also about the corruption that this power has, that people who are supposedly working in the name of good are doing all of these evil and despicable things in order to get the bad guys. So it all becomes very, very blurred. But it also gets to the point where the security services are using deep fakes against other elements of the security services. So it becomes, you know, plots inside plots. It is potentially quite a flawed show, but in terms of interest and for anyone who's interested in the kind of stuff that we talk about on Geeks, I would recommend, the Capture, BBC, only 6 episodes.
Mm. I'm actually going to change. Mandalorian doesn't take the TV show of the year. It is Chernobyl. I think Chernobyl would really, you got to watch it, Matt.
Jeff's going to be re-editing this show and you're just going to hear a pause and my pick is... And it's going to change.
Anyways, when we come back, we have more categories. Movie of the Year is next. BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. It is the King of Culture special, and we're doing categories of our best picks in different categories for King of Culture. We did Game of the Year. Matt didn't choose a game, if you're wondering. We did Podcast of the Year.
I chose lots of games. And Jeff chose lots of TV shows. So we both cheated.
We did Podcast of the Year, which we were well behaved, except for Matt plugging in MSP. But then again, you know, that is
stuff.
It's facts. TV shows of the year, I last minute changed from Mandalorian to Chernobyl, and I think everyone would agree. Matt picked The Capture, which I promise I have not watched
yet. Your break. You've got a bit of time.
Movie of the year, Matt. So I'm going to pick something that is new to me because I rarely, rarely watch movies that aren't English in language by nature. It's like, you know, a mixed of language is still, you know, bearable for me, but a completely new language is difficult.
I'm the same. I struggle watching the action and the subtitles at the same time. I'm either doing one or the other. So I suddenly realize, I know what they're talking about, but I don't know what's just happened on screen.
Yeah, so it was a real struggle for me when Arvin, who's, you know, one of our own resident TV and movie show expert, came to me one day and told me, Jeff, you have to watch Parasite. And I was like, ooh, that sounds like a very horror-ish movie. He's like, no, it's a Korean movie. And I go like, wait, what? Do you watch a Korean movie? He's like, yeah. And I was like, I don't want to watch a Korean movie. He's like, you have to watch a Korean movie because Parasite is really good. And he didn't want to explain to me what the movie was about because he said, anything I say about the movie will ruin the movie. And I'm like, that's strange. It's like, just go and watch it. So I went back home, I watched Parasite, and I have to say, for the first half of the show, I was just confused and I was wondering why that someone like Arvind Yuvraj told me that this is the greatest movie he's ever seen in the whole of like the decade and stuff. So I was like, this is very strange because there was nothing that is drawing me in. I understood the movie. It was very simple. It was very easy. Dialogues were, you know, it wasn't complicated. Yeah. It's not like The Irishman where you have to like, you know, sit through and really understand and feel.
And watch it in 17 installments over a weekend.
Yeah. But the second half of the show just completely blew my mind. Every single scene just completely blew my mind. I remember I was just left. My jaw was just gone by the end of the movie and I would be like, wow. Parasite, the Korean version, before Hollywood makes like a remake of this, because they generally tend to do this. So.
But that's it. I mean, Bong Joon-ho does make Hollywood movies as well. I mean, if I don't know if you, have you seen Snowpiercer?
No.
That's one of his. That's a kind of multilingual cast. So it does have those Korean elements, but it's mostly in English and it's just very claustrophobic. He does these claustrophobic
movies. That, it has that effect as well. The first few scenes of the movie, you will get that feeling, but it's so well shot as well. It's one of the most beautiful cinematography movies I've seen.
I've not watched it yet, so that's on my on my list.
What's on your list then?
Well, I would say that although 2019 has been fantastic for TV
series, yeah.
It hasn't been that amazing for movies. Mm. Now, I didn't want to pick something obvious like The Irishman or Marriage Story for this. I wanted to choose something that was a bit more techie, as this is supposed to be a tech show. So I've actually gone for Ad Astra, which a lot of people really hated and said was incredibly boring. Or Jeff's shaking his head. But again,
Brad Astra.
Well, Brad Astra, yeah, exactly. I like seeing this older Brad Pitt. I mean, he was great in, was it Once Upon a Time in Hollywood this year as well? That was another fantastic movie. This movie also has a great cast. You've got Tommy Lee Jones, Liv Tyler, who we haven't seen for a while, Donald Sutherland, Ruth Negger, who I love from the show Preacher. I think she's absolutely fantastic. You know, it's quite a typical kind of space opera in terms of the plot, and it is quite slow. It's not a lot of people were disappointed because they thought it was going to be a Brad Pitt action
like
in space.
Apollo 13.
Yeah,
no, it's not at all.
But it's not. Slow. It's slow. It's much more of a. It's not even a psychological thing. It just kind of unfolds. It's
like
there are kind of
surrealistic in a way.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of the things you go like, ooh, I could see that happening.
Yeah, and there's kind of elements of like Apocalypse Now, where there's these kind of flurries of activity and they're all kind of a bit unexpected. But most of the time, nothing really that much happens, but it happens very beautifully. I mean, you were saying that Parasite is really beautifully filmed. And Ad Astra is the same. You can, you know, you could literally just turn the sound off with Ad Astra and sit there and just kind of marvel at the screen. It's a bit like the Gravity.
Love Gravity.
Yeah, exactly. You can just watch what's happening on the screen.
I don't know why people hated Gravity, though. I liked it. Sandra Bullock was really good.
No, again, you know, because they expect all space movies to be Star Wars. And they're not. You can do slow things in space. And Ad Astra was one of those things for me.
All right. Next up is something that is of our favorite category every year, a gadget of the year. My pick is the Samsung Galaxy Fold because, I mean, a phone that could fold really impressed me. Now, at the start, obviously, there were hiccups and, you know, the phone, I guess, was breaking apart, to put it in you know, few words as possible. They went back to the drawing board. They re-engineered the hinge and, you know, changed a little bit of the screen and how, you know, the protective layer of the screen is. Started shipping them out again and then it arrived here in Malaysia. And I actually managed to play with it for about a week. And I honestly, I loved it. Even though it's absolutely ridiculous because it's bulky. It's like two phones that has been welded together.
It's like the old Nokia communicator.
And yeah. and I actually loved that phone a lot.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Communicator.
Yeah, that wasn't a criticism. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's one of, it really reminded me of the communicator, and I actually couldn't stop using the phone when it's actually flipped open. Like, I love the fact that that feeling of flipping it open, the big screen. And it was tough to go back to my, you know, 6.5-inch smartphone, which is huge.
Okay, well, I don't really have a gadget of the year. I mean, you know, I just said this year hasn't been a great year for movies. I think it's been a great year for technology. But it hasn't been a great year for gadgets. There hasn't been anything that's, like, super, super excited me. I mean, I'm actually increasingly growing to like the Tesla Cybertruck. I was a bit put off by the looks to begin with, but then I looked at some more articles and started going into really nerdy things like drag coefficients. It has the performance and the drag of a sports car, a race car, a lot of race cars, and that's incredible considering. That it's very high and it has a lot of ground clearance, but you still can't call an electric truck a gadget by any stretch of the imagination. So I'm actually going with operating system upgrades because to me, rather than the devices themselves, this has been kind of the year where the operating systems actually finally start to take advantage of the power and the muscle that those devices have. Mm. Now, I'm the first to say that Google and Android OS has, you know, leapt ahead of what Apple has been doing over the past few years. Apple has finally kind of started to catch up with the iPad OS.
Oh, yeah, really good.
It really does make the tablet into a useful device. And I think we're seeing that across the board as well. We're the one that I'm kind of a bit disappointed isn't growing is Chrome OS. I would like to see that expanding a little bit more. But in terms of all the kind of mainstream operating systems, I think they've become a lot more functional, a lot more useful, and a lot more user-friendly.
All right. So OS upgrades is your gadget of the year. Again, completely missing the point. But anyways.
It's not missing the point. There isn't a gadget. So I'm saying it's the stuff that makes the gadgets go that's good.
All right. So finally, another favorite that we always have, what's not hot in 19. My pick is Libra, the cryptocurrency that is backed by Facebook. And, you know, when it first was announced, everyone was super hyped about it. And they would go like, wow, you know, Facebook's going to crypto. And I remember they had this really ambitious plan that it's going to change the way we, you know, use money and how we operate and with the world. And they had, like, you know, partners from everyone, the PayPals, the MasterCards, and, you know, all these kind of people, the Stripes, the Visas. But turns out, didn't work out. People said no. Their backers started to leave. MasterCard, eBay, Stripe, Visa, PayPal, Mercado Pago, Bookings Holdings, they all left the project.
US regulators said, we're really not sure.
So,
you know, we're looking into you for various privacy violations.
Yeah.
Currency, not sure on that one.
I don't know what went into their minds when they thought that launching a cryptocurrency in 2019, despite what has happened to them and, you know, Mark Zuckerberg for the first time appearing in Senate hearings, thought that, yeah, this is a good idea. Let's try to do cryptocurrency and take people's money. So, yeah, that for me is the what's not hot in 19.
Oh, I've got to come up with one. Yeah, I completely forgot. I'm going to say Twitter. Now, I came back to Twitter in 2019 after being off the platform for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I engaged with it for the first part of the year. I still go on periodically, and there's, you know, a group of maybe half a dozen or a dozen people that I kind of engage with and enjoy engaging with. But on the whole, I mean, it's just such a toxic place to be that, you know, people say I'm dark and negative, but heavens, have a look at my Twitter feed. And just this whole thing about piling on, you know, and ganging up on people, this kind of level of bullying that goes on, especially when people, you know, it's it's one thing when somebody comes out and says something that's deliberately offensive or whatever, but when somebody accidentally says something, not I mean accidentally disclosing that they're a racist, but, you know, misspells something or they don't phrase it very well. Mm. And suddenly you just get hundreds and thousands of people just piling on, and then suddenly the retweets and it goes viral. All so right. yeah, I would say Twitter pylons is my not hot in 19.
What about Geek Tunes? What do we have for Geek Tunes to wrap up the final geeks of the year?
Well, I thought we should go with a tune that we've actually played this year. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at the best of 2019. So I thought I would choose something that was a really surprising, unexpected gem. It was, something completely out of left field. And this is a cover of the David Bowie song Heroes by none other than David Hasselhoff.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.